be so late, then I could be late.
I'm late.
That was great.
Andrea Trotman, the chair of
Old Sam. Oh, nice. Oh, sure. Yes.
Excellent.
Gotcha. Thank you. We are a little behind schedule. This is a public meeting with myself. Let's do a roll call quickly.
Roll call. This is Councilman Jimmy Peluso, City Council District 7.
Rockman Johnson, City Council Person, District 14.
All right.
And the purpose of this meeting is it's not a new piece of legislation, but there's some dollars that Old Stanton, which is in your district, we want to move them. There were $300,000 appropriated. They didn't use the fullness of the funds. And so what this is, we just want to move the funds from one, allow them to be carried forward. So we would change the date in the legislation. And so it would be carried forward so those funds could be used for building repair, roof repair, and that kind of thing. Any questions?
Philip, do you mind kind of stepping up real quick? Is that all right? I just have a few questions. I do have a few questions. So these are encumbered dollars. These are unencumbered dollars.
So there's two pots of dollars. One is under a current contract with Old Stanton. There's $56,000 and change remaining on the contract that they can draw down on. But as Councilmember Johnson alluded to, the legislation that appropriated those dollars and the contract have a termination date of September 30th, 2023.
Gotcha.
Subsequently, there's another pot of dollars that was supposed to carry over into 22-23, didn't. We've got it worked out with accounting, so now it's there. It's $143,000 that was appropriated back in early 22.
Yeah.
So those dollars, once again, will sunset on September 30th of 2023. So in totality, it's $200,000 that currently right now is obligated to Stanton. One is in a contract, one's in a contingency line. My assumption is that the intent would be to carry all $200,000 over into the new year. Only question I would have is if we are amending that contract to add the $143,000 to it. But the carryover, that's an easy financial thing.
Well, and let me, I know you say 200, but I want to clarify the total amount initially, and I'm sure you understand it was $300,000 that was appropriated. The reason we're at the 200 now is because at the time, I want to say Peggy was one of the members. That's how I kind of came up with the information and wrote everything up. The Historic Stanton Board was only able to draw down a certain amount once they got pieces done of the agreement, and so they had to find the people to do the work and go through the process of doing that. So that's why they didn't pull the whole 300, and so now the rest of those dollars are left. Correct me if I'm wrong. Anybody has any?
Everything's good. Have you already filed legislation?
Want to talk to you first, since you are the district council person and Stanton is in your district, and I hope that you will co-introduce this with me.
That is what I'm getting at. Yes, I'd love to co-introduce.
Absolutely. So I think Mary and the team will be working on it this week to be preparing for our upcoming committee cycle.
Psyched.
Yep.
Hey, while you're here.
Sure. Yeah, while you're here, I got some stuff for you, too.
Why don't you go first?
No, you go. Oh, please, this was my stuff, so you go first.
All right, well, if you're going to insist.
Real quick before you change
subjects. Come on, Philip.
Sorry. So the $56,290, I think, is the number. That's an easy carryover because it's just a legislation and contract change 2023 to 2024. The $143,000, are we adding that to the contract or just carrying that over?
That should be carried over, from my understanding, because it's below the line.
It is below the line.
Yes.
Just carried over below the line.
Just carried over below the line.
I thought you just said that was an accounting thing, right?
It is. No, it totally is. I just want to make sure that we do it properly because it is a one-cycle emergency. Get it right.
Absolutely.
I guess I really will.
Wait a minute. When did this become a one-cycle emergency?
To get it out in the current fiscal year, you only have two city council meetings left. So,
you're right.
Getting
you're right.
It filed and then
yeah, you're
it
right
out.
About that. Okay. I just don't want to, so you may need to introduce this, Councilman, because I just did a one-cycle emergency for the old Middleburg project.
Okay.
And I can just co-introduce it with you.
Sure. Does every council member only get one emergency?
It's not that, but you don't want to be the boy that cried wolf. Every 5 minutes, you're running to the table with an emergency. And mine was, you know, you remember, I don't know if you knew, but a gentleman in my district, which you know, obviously public, you know, my thoughts and prayers are with he and his wife right now. But the gentleman in my district has terminal cancer, and which is the reason why I introduced the one cycle emergency, because his property is, we're taking it via eminent domain, and he's in the midst of chemo and dealing with some major health stuff.
Understood.
And so we were trying to get his property done, and I was supposed to meet with him at his house this morning, and on my way to his home, I get a call that he and his wife just found out that they have COVID.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So anyway, y'all keep him in your prayers. And but nevertheless, I just don't want to keep running through with emergencies.
Understood. Thank you, Philip. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So while we are here, and part of this is just sort of to get your temperature. Obviously, you know about the J bill that I filed with Councilman Michael Boylan. And did you sit in on any of the critical quality of life meetings?
I did not. I read the report. I had them send me the digital report. Excellent. And I went through it, you know, intently.
And so you weren't there at that one. I did ask Michael to do a meeting.
That hour meeting? I wasn't able to get in.
So the point is, and I might recommend you just do a one-on-one with Michael, obviously a notice meeting. And I wanted to make sure that you at least got this. I'm very happy that we have Alan DeVault here, who is the engineer of the J-Bill. He is the one who's kind of been speaking with the Duval delegation. So he was able to find out from them that, hey, we'll carry this if it's run as a J-bill. So as I'm sure you already know, I'm sure you read through it. All we're doing is asking the delegation to give us the ability
when
the time comes. It's not going to be a next year. I mean, it could be, supposedly. But this could be 25 years down the road. But right now, there's only one county that has the ability to assess this particular tax. There is no other – because when we were sitting in on the meeting, and I didn't really want to pour too much cold water because we had a bunch of clearly passionate individuals who I think were kind of told at the last minute, like, hey, show up and get in the way of this stuff. But there is no other method to have a dedicated funding source for homelessness than that one assessment that Miami-Dade has. No, there's none in state law. And as you know, we cannot just assess taxes however we want. So as some people were sort of saying, oh, you know, we could do a cigarette tax, we can do a liquor tax, we can do these other ones. Well, that's not available to us. You know, state law doesn't allow
state
that
stuff. Yeah.
So if the lodging folks want to campaign on creating new opportunities for dedicated funding sources for homelessness, you know, this is the only one that is available to anyone. Now, all that to say, because I know Councilman Arias and you were sort of discussing, well, hey, are there any other opportunities? This one pager that was created out of the critical quality of life meeting provides a few different, not even options, but like what other communities are dealing with. And you see a lot outside of the state of Florida. So some of them are a little bit more, you know, not really in our wheelhouse, but you do have Hillsborough County, which obviously has Tampa in it, and then you've got Palm Beach County, which, you know, has West Palm Beach. So both of them have different, different kind of funding sources that they have. Hillsborough just comes right out of their general fund. As I'm sure you knew, based on the budget process, general fund it gets pretty tapped out pretty quickly. So to believe that we might be able to use that in the future, if we have a mayoral administration that constantly wants to put a certain amount of money in there, sure, we're great, but that's not a dedicated source because it's always going to depend on them, and it's going to depend on where the economy is, everything else. But that is one option that Hillsborough does. Palm Beach County issued a $200 million bond, and I'm sure – I'm looking at Philip right now. I'm sure he doesn't want to issue hundreds of millions of dollars in bonds. Because that's just more additional debt.
Well, and we probably are going to have to issue a bond. Philip, nod, blink. If blink once, blink twice. We're probably going to have to issue bonds for the stadium deal, depending on where
almost no
how
question.
That goes.
Yep.
Yeah, and it goes, where the it, thing happens.
The point
yeah.
is, it's just a lot. And so, if we really care about finding real solutions to combating homelessness and those who are unhoused in our community, I believe a dedicated funding source, as the critical quality of life committees recommended, this is a great opportunity. It's
and
not
I think,
the only one. Oh, sorry.
Well, if I may, real quick, I just think we have to make sure that the community understands, and I think it's a great idea.
Yep.
As I look at it, I'm trying to get more information about it, but I was very impressed with how it was presented. But the thing I think that's most important is we have to make sure that people understand this is not a tax.
Correct.
Yet.
Yep.
And I think, unfortunately, it's something that the majority of our colleagues are going to have to vote on. So it is a no-brainer to be able to have to wield the power of having the availability to levy the tax if necessary.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're going to be a co-sponsor?
Absolutely.
Woo.
Yeah, you have my word. I will co-sponsor this legislation because it's not a tax.
Meeting adjourned.
Well, it's not a tax. I mean, and that's one thing I want people to understand. I think it's going to be incumbent upon us to make sure that we keep all the tools in the toolkit that we can have to attack this problem and make it go away, hopefully, in our tenure.
Well, again, you go to Miami-Dade, they are at functional zero for veteran homelessness, for instance, right? I mean, for a community like ours, and I was speaking with somebody the other day, who was it that we were with, who had mentioned that many of the homeless people who he had been working with, who was that? Yes. Yeah, we were talking with another gentleman about homelessness and the unhoused in our community, and one of the things that he said, because his wife works at Sulzbacher, so he volunteers there frequently, he said so many people are employed. They have jobs. They just cannot find housing. It's like, so these are still individuals, in many cases, that want to work, that do work, that do have a livelihood, but there's just so many problems in their way, so many barriers that they can't find housing, and now there's very little permanent housing. There's couple of shelters, but many of which are considered unsafe to some of these individuals, and also, you know, the number is so low to begin with. Permanent housing is the solution. Rapid rehousing is the solution, and this will help solve that. All that to say, what else do you have for me?
Actually, I'm good. Any public comment? Any thoughts from anyone else about...
Mr. Nooney, I see you smiling over there. You got something?
Please.
Do we have a are we doing a time limit for public comment?
The usual.
What is it, two? 2 or 3 minutes? Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
All right. Oh, good. It's recording. All right. I am John Philanthropic Resiliency Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216, City Council District 4, CPAC, Planning District 3. There's a meeting tonight that I'll be going to in Mandarin. But the reason I'll just take advantage of this, you know, the notice meeting had to do with Stanton. But then, you know, you switched gears, and you're talking about a J bill. So I just, in that spirit of just, you know, bringing something to a notice meeting, you know, with our elected legislative representatives, I just want to just share with all of you, you know, that, you know, I am right now advocating for Pottsburg Creek Public Park next to a FEMA house. And it's Category 1 wetlands next to a FEMA, FEMA house, and I need a sponsor. Now, my councilman's not doing anything. There's 5 CPAC members. And, you know, our property, it's very unique, and it could be a public park, but it requires the political will. And when the wife and I, you know, the first people came up to us and said, Nooney, we're going to make this a private launch. And I was like, good for you. But you know what? I'm going to try the public first. Now, I participated in 3 of these, you know, infrastructure subcommittees: downtown riverfront resiliency, neighborhoods, and parks. And let me just say that, you know, right now there's a piece of legislation, 2023-0490, has to do with the river taxi. You got 4 new members on Waterways. Mr. Peluso, the number reason I'm here, you're the chair of Waterways. You could be a sponsor. You know, this legislation's not in neighborhoods, but it's in all the other committees. You know, and there's something wrong with that. And let me just say, too, you know, I'll be going, you know, when it starts. But you got 4 new guys on Waterways. You, Mr. Gay, so Tyrone Clark Murray, and Ken Amaro. Ken Amaro, his district includes the Arlington River that has 3 private rowing clubs. You know what? We are getting less access. I was telling Steve right here, you think we're getting, it's getting horrible. I want to be one of the biggest cheerleaders, but then again, I could be one of the biggest cheerleaders saying, get out of here, man, because you're going to get crushed. So there's 2,500 billionaires in the world. I'm working on it right now. And it's fun. Need one. Okay. Well, thank you for listening.
I would
thank
like
you.
To, I would like to ask a question, Mr. Nooney, if that's all right. So you own this property?
Yes.
And is it has it been flooded out because of a hurricane?
No.
Okay. So is it like is it submerged property or is it is there a structure on it?
There is a structure, and let me just say that the rules of FEMA have changed. So before this, FEMA used to be three strikes and you're out. So in other words, the house that's next to me should have been demolished. Mm-hmm. So now that's a separate issue. Now, there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle, but that house is something where, but back to your question, Irma put a big hit on us,
sure.
But we did not file a federal claim because that kept our property with zero incidences. And surrounding houses, there's so many up and down the creek with one, two, or three strikes, you're out.
So your property, which sounds to me like it's right on the river, do you have adjacent property as well? Like if the city were to purchase this property and put in a boat ramp, would you immediately be directly next to it? Like do you own another property next to this other property?
The answer is no. It used to be two lots, but we combined it for the homestead part. And let me just say, it wouldn't be a boat ramp. And let me just say the North Florida Land Trust, you know, they did an inspection. They recognized the recreational potential benefit for it. Andy Frayden, the owner of All Wet Sports, you know, the only access is Beach Boulevard. And he's on the Waterways Commission, and he has no issue. He does not have the ability to create the legislation, but is supportive.
Yeah, but the land trust could purchase that property, could they not?
You know what their answer to me was? They do bigger stuff. He goes, you know, this is more the little stuff. And I get that. But I will take it as that they recognize the recreational benefits.
All right. That's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Nooney.
Well, and again, thank you both. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Nooney. I appreciate it.
Mr. DeVault?
Real quickly, I just wanted to thank you both for your help with the historic Stanton and to let you know that the $300,000 of the city has helped us, historic Stanton, also get $2.5 million in grants from the state, one with an African American cultural heritage grant and another appropriation. So we're right now looking to do all the windows at some point and a completely brand new roof. So I just want to thank you for helping.
I look forward to being there for the ribbon cutting.
Yes. Right. Make sure you're there.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Vanessa Collins Hopkins.
Thanks to both of you all. Vanessa Collins Hopkins, 3283 Edgewood Avenue West. I'm really coming up here to say thank you all for having this meeting. And with regard to homelessness, I request that we pull down as much as we can in terms of federal dollars. Mm-hmm. I commend the mayor for putting within her budget grants makers. We need to make sure that that particular department is as funded as best it can be based on the overall restraints of the budget, because key to this city improving is being able to pull down as much federal money and state money as we possibly can. In addition, we, the constituency throughout the city, need to understand bond financing, because we need to understand exactly how this stadium can be funded. My last comment is about the stadium design. I went to a number of the meetings that Mr. Lamping had. And one of the things he said was that the concourses are going to be extremely wide. Okay, because they're being widened, please take into account low mobility people like myself. Wheelchairs and scooters need to be able to be mobile on the concourse. In addition, you have slow walkers. In addition, you've got children and families. that should be encouraged to become part of the sports complex events, especially considering the plan for the stadium is for more than just football. I believe this stadium is a once-in-a-century opportunity for this particular city. The last thing I ask is that we focus on businesses, driving tourists to businesses in Northwest Jacksonville. We're right on 95. They can just, you know, go from the game or before the game, go to some of our businesses on the north side, and then come back and do businesses on the east side, and where it's going to be extremely expensive around the stadium. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Got anything else?
Nothing from me. I'm just trying to make sure while I have you here in the public.
I know.
I'm just like, what do I need to talk about?
That's honestly what I was thinking. I'm like, I felt like I had one more thing I want to talk to you about.
And I thought I did. I just left JTA, Autonomous Vehicles. Yay.
Oh.
For those that don't know, Councilman Peluso and I aren't, although we're great friends in real life, we do not agree on the autonomous vehicle thing. And my vehicle is, or my district is so far out, the west side. And so autonomous vehicles are a great way for us to connect with the rest of the city. He just so happens to have a district that is
when would they get
downtown.
Out? When would they get out to the west side? In 2050?
No, it would actually be within like less than 5 years. Like around
how
5 years.
How
yeah, I believe
all
that
right,
they
this is how
so
fast
you know
do
what?
They go?
We're
right
gonna
now.
Have how fast as far as like mileage wise?
Yeah, how fast does one of those autonomous vehicles
like
go?
25 miles an hour?
11 miles an hour.
No, you can get up to 20. They just haven't
it
activated it yet.
Federal law requires it to go no faster than 11 miles an hour.
I would take the 11 mile an hour trip that I can go from Oak Leaf Plantation to Clay County, taking me up to somewhere off 103rd Street.
I can run faster than 11 miles an hour.
You cannot. But you got this thing will run continuously. And so you have senior citizens and children and others that don't have to depend on the ride services that'll get them from those outer lying areas up to a bus line. And we have those connections.
You know what would be even better than an autonomous vehicle? Light rail.
I mean, that's 25 years out. That it takes time to build light rail.
Let's start it now. That's my argument.
But, I mean, there's a way maybe we can convert it. That's at this point, that's low-hanging fruit. The autonomous vehicle, I don't have to have tracks. I can just stick it on a charging station. I can run it from a room. I mean, there's so many positives of that. So we'll hopefully workshop that and get you on board.
If it only cost us $20 million, I could live with that. But it's going to cost us hundreds of millions. Well, and that's what makes me
the good thing is part of that money is going to come from Pete Buttigieg. Hey, Secretary. So let's go get that money. No. I think we can adjourn this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Off to the next meeting. Everybody, please remember.